Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
Let's go. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. I told you he would be back, and he is here. Brandon Lejeune, you still get an introduction. I might even be better at it this time. Because last time you didn't mention the Devi Deep Dive podcast at the beginning.
Right.
You didn't mention the dashboard on Slack. People heard about them, assuming they're tuning in, but they didn't hear them. And we spent a lot of time talking about the YouTube channel, Devi to Dynasty, which is maybe the baby of them all at this point. So it deserved it. At that point, you had just surpassed the 2,000 subscribers we mentioned.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
What am I missing?
I think that's it. I think that's more than enough.
At Devi Deep Dive on Twitter.
Yes, that's my Twitter handle.
And today we're going to be talking about Tyler Algier.
Algier, one of my favorite kind of second-tiered running backs. I've been a fan of this kid for 2 years, ever since he broke out with Zach Wilson last year.
And I watched – it's a little bit older now. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old it is, but I did watch your video on him.
Yeah, my flag plant video I think I put out there.
Yes. Which is still a great video. I know it's – you said you've got another one coming out soon, but still a great video. And still you see a lot of great plays from the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Who – I'm switching it up. Give these people one Devi analyst that you think they should go follow on Twitter that's not you.
Felix Sharp. I think we spoke about him.
At Sharp Review.
Felix is a great colleague of mine, and as we were talking pre-show, him and I got some stuff cooking in the kitchen as far as pretty exciting stuff. We're going to be doing a collaboration, so by the time this actually hits the airwaves, people may know about it. I'm not sure, but either way, Felix is a great guy. I have all the respect for him, and you know, we're always in communication all the time, so great guy.
Yeah, I like Felix a lot too. We both actually mentioned him to each other, and he is over at Campus to Canton. And I agree, man, that's an awesome one. And that's not to take away from all the amazing Devi heads in the community at all. But yeah,
oh, right.
You mentioned a great one there.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great Devi people and we're just trying to grow the Devi side, you know, so just to get more people who play Dynasty to maybe start thinking about Devi and would love to come on here at some point and talk about how to convert a regular Dynasty league into a partial Devi league. It's not as hard as people think. So maybe that'll be a topic for another day.
No, I love that topic though too. And if you don't want to go into it too deep right now, I totally understand. But we actually brought that up on, I just mentioned to you, the Dynasty Junkies. And we just brought that up the other night.
Great.
On that show, which we actually mentioned you to as well. And I think we mentioned Felix. We mentioned a lot of you guys. We tried to show the love.
Nice.
But we did mention like how easy it would be to implicate your current Dynasty League. You could have it's as simple as having a Devi draft today.
That's right. You could have one player on your taxi squad that you would be considered a Devi player because they're uneligible to participate in the NFL because they have not been drafted yet. And bingo, all of a sudden you're a Devi player.
Yep. And then you're taking your skills another step. You're going to be better in your Dynasty leagues. You're going to be better in your redraft leagues, your keeper leagues. Like it all just like is a building block of this weird learning journey we're all on.
Yeah. Good stuff. It's all fun.
So Tyler Algier.
Yes.
Last year you did a running back as well by the name of Trey Sermon.
Yes. Still a believer.
Yeah. So do you think he gets an opportunity, Trey Sermon, at some point, or do you want him to get traded or cut or?
I don't know. I don't know if he ended up in the doghouse. I know he got hurt at the end of this year. I know he got early. He had an early concussion. I think it was maybe on his first or second run of the game when he first got his opportunity. And Elijah Mitchell now has taken over that backfield and most likely will be the guy starting in San Francisco next year. So he's not going anywhere. They're not going to cut him. So we were talking pre-show as to why he did not translate when he looked so damn good last year. And I think I mentioned to you that maybe it was just more of an intangible thing where he couldn't pick up the playbook or something, but I truly believed he had all the physical traits to at least be productive in that offensive scheme. But I'm still a believer. I still have many shares, and I'm going to be a holder at this point.
I wonder in that offense or in that team setting, if it's as simple as Brandon Ayuk getting a little too much swagger and then being like, nah, you're not that cool.
Could be.
Kind of trying to knock them down a few spots sometimes. Cause
it's
hard to understand. I feel like there is a Shanahan doghouse.
Yeah, maybe came in a little cocky thinking he didn't have to work, right? I talk about it all the time with intangibles on players. It's the one thing that we don't know when we scout these players, you know, for all of these skill positions. We don't know how smart they are to pick up the complicated playbook. We don't know what their work ethic is. We don't know their attitude. We don't know how, if they're a gym rat or if they think they're just strong in college and they don't have to put the work in to, you know, get stronger and get more explosive. So maybe some of these guys come in with a little, you know, chip on their shoulder. I'm from Ohio State. I've played this, that, you know, and it just didn't work out. And he's sat them for the year to prove a point. Let's hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hope for my shares that's what it is.
I hear you. I've still got a couple. I'm guessing you have more, but I have two.
I got three.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. So
he's like, well, I'm only in three leagues.
Nah. Yeah. No. I'm in seven leagues. So yeah, I got a little bit of
not too
space.
Bad.
Not too bad. Yeah. So Tyler Allgeier, let's get into it.
Yeah. Why did you choose Tyler Allgeier?
Well, I wanted to give Tyler Allgeier, because I'm sure that a lot of people are going to come on here talk about the top three. Right? This running back class to me looks very similar to last year. We have three guys that we believe are going to be the tops on everyone's list: Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, Isaiah Spiller. So I wanted to go a little deeper, looking at a tier two, tier three running back. And Tyler Allgeier, 5'11", 220 pounds. He's got that prototypical size that I really like. He was certainly explosive. He's a converted linebacker. So he's been in the league. If you go to ESPN, it says he's a sophomore, but he's really not. He's been in the league. He's been in college for 4 years. So he's going to be an older prospect coming out. I think he's going to be closer to 23. But in 2020, he really emerged with Zach Wilson playing at BYU. In 2020, he had over 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. And this year, 2021, a lot of people went into the season about Tyler Allgeier and said, well, did Zach Wilson make Tyler Allgeier the running back that he is? Because he created space, being dynamic on the field. So the big question coming into 2021 this year was for Tyler Allgeier, can he duplicate that production, you know, with Zach Wilson now not being there? And he ran for over 1,600 yards, 5.8 average, and he had 23 touchdowns, which I believe was very close to the top of all college football running backs last year. I like the way the kid runs. He's physical. He's got some speed to him. I think his, you know, the one thing that he doesn't, I don't think, bring elite characteristics to the table is his footwork and lateral movement, which is a slight concern for me. But other than that, I think he has the ability, if he again lands in a good spot with a team that is looking for a good physical one cut downhill bruising physical running back who will just, you know, take hits and give hits. I think Tyler Allgeier is in my top 10 of running backs. He currently right now is number 7 for me in my ranks. I think he has the ability to, you know, maybe be one of these second tier running backs, you know, round late day two or round late round two rookie draft, maybe early rookie draft, third round. Draft capital, I think, is going to come in somewhere late day two or early day three in the NFL draft in April.
So maybe like Michael Carter, Kenneth Gainwell from the 2021 class?
Or? Probably in that area. He's a completely different player than those two. I mean, you know, this guy's a big bruising guy. And what's really nice too is that he has the ability to catch the ball. So he had, I believe, 21 receptions or 28 receptions. So he's got some hands out of the backfield. And I know from a dynasty asset and a PPR format, everyone's looking at pass catchers. And as we've seen with Dylan and other guys who don't catch balls in college, you know, don't hold that against a running back just because they haven't shown that skill set in college, because a lot of them go to the NFL and are asked to do it and actually excel in that. So it's more of, I think, a college offensive system concern more than the player not being able to catch the ball. But this kid can catch the ball out the flat and down the field. And I think he's just an all around good running back. And for me, size matters when it comes to running backs. I want a guy, you know, I need a guy that has the big lower half. He's got, you know, the big, you know, legs and who can drive the ball down the field, and take tacklers with them. And I think Tyler Algier could be a great tier two running back in this draft.
As far as landing spot goes, then, do you see a scenario where we see him back with Zach Wilson?
Possibly. Possibly. I mean, I think, you know, everyone, I believe, is hoping that Breece Hall or Isaiah Spiller, Kenneth Walker goes to Miami, goes to the Atlanta Falcons, the Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. But as we know, the running backs in the NFL draft are getting faded a little more. You get day two draft capital as a running back, that's as good as being a wide receiver getting day one draft capital, right? So sure. Last year, there were only four running backs taken at day two. And I think very similar is going to happen this year. But a team might pass on one of those top running backs like a Breece Hall, like an Isaiah Spiller, maybe fill a defensive need. Because I think there's some really nice backs in this class, including Tyler Algier, who a team might say to themselves, you know what, we can wait till round four or five and get another guy. You know, we might miss out on Isaiah Spiller, but as you know how the NFL and these teams value running backs, I mean, we were just talking about Elijah Mitchell, right? I mean, we were thinking, okay, well, he was a what, round six pick, I think, in the draft last year. I think
yeah,
he was a,
sounds right.
You know, five
I
or
got
six
him off waivers in a dynasty.
Exactly. So, I mean, Tyler Algier is going to be most likely an early day three pick and could fall again if he lands in a spot where there's an opportunity, because opportunity matters for all of these skilled players. I think he has the ability to really be a nice complement in a backfield.
I like it. Compliment.
I don't think I don't think he is going to be a guy that's going to be given an opportunity at the beginning. No one's going to draft him in the fifth round and say, here you go. I'd love to see it. But he could also, like, let's say the Eagles, right? If they get all, you know, there's talk in Philadelphia that Miles Sanders, they maybe want to go somewhere different. You know, they're always going to run two backs in Philadelphia. Most teams are now running two backs. He could be that pounder, small yardage guy, goal line guy, but he has the ability with his speed and physicality. I think he's more than that though.
So RB3 in the NFL?
I think RB3, I think, is a good spot right now for him, as with most of, I think, the running backs in this class outside the top three, just like last year.
And then with the opportunity of upside, if opportunity presents itself in a system where he started to prove himself. And that's where running backs become so interesting, because you mentioned Elijah Mitchell, but you have a lot of guys. Even we saw Gainwell at the beginning of this season show some fantasy relevance. It went away before we were comfortable enough to use him, but then we saw it from Michael Carter. And every now and then you see these players just get an opportunity for a few weeks. And that's one nice thing about some of these running backs, is typically you know when to start them. Like, you'll know when Tyler Algier's in a situation where said starter got hurt and they're putting him in the position to where you're like, yeah, maybe I can start him this week. It's not as fluky as, say, Joshua Palmer, who we talked about a little bit on our last show.
Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, if he's given the opportunity, I think he could excel.
I like it. I feel like, again, and we talked about consensus a little bit too on the last show, but I feel like the consensus on him is a little bit lower, and you're a little higher on him than most.
I think so. I think most people he got him a little lower. There's other backs like James Cook, but there's a great website out there. It's called NFLMockDraftDatabase.com. And it's everyone should at this time of year be looking at that website. It's a really great website. What it does is it accumulates all the mock drafts from all the big players, big and small, and pretty much breaks down all the data. And I'm looking at it right now, and Tyler Algier is number 8 coming off the board with an average draft capital of 90, which puts him very close to round 3, round 4 NFL draft capital. Guys in front of him are Brian Robinson, James Cook, and Kyren Williams, Spiller, Hall, and Walker. So I think the drafting community is onto him. I think he's a top 10 back for some people, but he's outside the top 10 for others.
How much college football do you watch versus like film?
I watch.
Is your Saturday pretty packed?
No, you know what? I'm I don't like to take 2 days and just be like sitting watching football all day. But if you've got YouTube TV, you can DVR every college game that's on every network, SEC network, ACC network. So I got them all DVR'd. So in a lot of cases, I'll get up in the morning and watch them and that type of thing. So I'm not a guy that is just glued on Saturday all day. I'll pick a, you know, an hour or two maybe if I've got time, but try not to sit on my ass for 2 whole days, you know, every weekend. So,
and quite honestly, it gets hard to watch all the football we want to watch when you're creating content and running a family.
Well, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons. Like,
well, I'm watching football today and tomorrow. Then I'm going to do a podcast. Then I'm going to do this YouTube. Like, you have to give and take.
As my wife always says, balance.
Yeah.
So.
And then you want to get out and go fishing.
That's right. That's my real passion. So,
so who is somebody from last year's class that you might compare him to?
I think Elijah Mitchell is a good, I think they're very similar in size. I think, that's what I like about Tyler Allgeier. He's got that size. I mean, we were talking about Trey Sermon earlier. He's a very similar size as well. I think he's a little taller, Trey Sermon. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one guy because he doesn't fit the Michael Carter mold. He doesn't fit the Gainwell mold, two guys we were just talking about. He's more of a big physical running back. And there's a good amount of them in this class. I mean, you got Brian
Stevenson. I know that dude's a beast.
Yeah, he's a little bigger, but you know what? I think that's a great I think that's a great kind of comp as far as a guy getting an opportunity like he did in New England this year. You know, they have Harris as the number one guy. He's going to come in and they're going to see what they have in Stevenson by putting him in there. Harris is the guy. He's the number one back. I think that's a very similar kind of role I can see Tyler Allgeier hopefully finding himself in. I would be thrilled if he found himself in a situation similar to Stevenson where a team takes him. You know, I think Stevenson was day three. Was he a round three guy, I think maybe round four. I'm not sure.
That sounds right. I think he's three or four.
Yeah, I think he was kind of in that range. I see Allgeier kind of getting out of the draft, but he works really well in his zone blocking scheme. That's would be why you ran primarily. So I think that he should excel, and it's most of what the NFL runs now, from what I understand. So he should excel in that scheme. So he's a one cut and go guy, and I think he's got the physicality and the size and the pass catching chops to be, like I said, in the top 10.
Who is your running back then in this draft?
I still believe in Breece Hall. I think he brings the whole package together with his elusiveness, his start-stop ability, his lateral movement. He's got power. He's got pass-catching ability. Another guy that I'd like, too, that I know I'm ranked higher than most is Brian Robinson Jr. I think there's a lot of guys from Alabama. Again, the analytics crowd might fade him because of the lack of early production, but that's what happens when you play in Bama. It's just another big physical one cut runner who just will punish you. And a lot of teams in the NFL, that's what they're looking for. There's very few backs that come out with the Dalvin Cook skill set, you know, the start, stop, you know, electric plays down the field. So most of the NFL teams, I believe, are kind of left to look at the size of these players and what they can bring to the table. And I always lean for the bigger guys.
Yeah. Another thing too, like that you mentioned, some of the analytics guys can miss things. I got in this interesting conversation with John Lobb, who we both admire a ton. We've talked about him privately about a year ago. And the conversation sort of started with James Robinson. And I'm not going to be able to explain this as well as John and just with his education background and what he does, but how many times does a college player just not fit the personality of the coach, maybe, and for whatever reason, that coach has so much control over this situation that you might not see them as much, which I know at that point, I mean, that isn't nothing to do with analytics or film. It's just obviously not showing up on paper, but then also like you just don't get to see them because for whatever reason, there's either people playing in front of them or some kind of actual personality problem that the coach has decided that, nope, you're not going to win. Kind of like maybe we joke about the Shanahan doghouse. Mm-hmm. But do you think that can translate sometimes too into some of these players or situations? And just like at a college level, there's so many players still versus the NFL. And if you get in that doghouse, I mean, it could legitimately change your career.
I think that probably happens. You know, in the case of Brian Robinson, I mean, Najee Harris was there for 2 years and they were trying to win a national championship. So, you know, he just had to simply wait his turn. And I you know, especially with the transfer portal, which has been just berserk this year, I respect the fact that he stayed there for all of these seasons, just waiting his turn. And he was certainly productive this year. And we know the outcome of Alabama's season. So, he was a big part of that offense. And I think NFL teams are going to value his skill set to the table. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've got Robinson, he's at number 5 for me in this class. So again, I'm going to be going really with these bigger backs because they're the ones that usually get drafted.
Yeah. I'll try to find that show for you, even just because the conversation, if I remember right, was right at the beginning of it. And like I said, John, I think, explained his thoughts and feelings on it a lot better than I just did, but it did make me think a little bit differently sometimes towards some of the later draft capital running backs, the undrafted free agents who honestly don't hit a lot, but it made me think a little bit differently sometimes. Like, you don't always know what happened to make them fall in a draft. And sometimes there's still talent that falls in the NFL drafts.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like to watch the film and will always lean towards the film, because there are guys that just don't get early production for some reason or another. But, and I'm not so sure the NFL scouts really value those analytical numbers as much as the Devy and Dynasty community do. I'm pretty sure that they are looking at a skill set, a scheme fit, and that is what they're looking for. Not worrying about like, well, we can't take this player because necessarily his freshman, sophomore year, he didn't break out or he didn't have the production, when in fact, possibly there could have been another player there, not allowing him to showcase his skills. And then the fact that Brian Robinson, he doesn't have a lot of workload. So I think that's another thing that the backs, he's been relatively injury free and he is a physical player who doesn't have a lot of wear and tear. So I think a lot of backs or, you know, a lot of NFL teams might look at him and Tyler Algier. Because in 2018 and 19 for Tyler Algier, he never even ran the ball. So he has a lack of wear and tear as well.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think we could almost even end that as being like our final thoughts, unless you wanted to add anything to it as we get out of here. Obviously, we need to sign off and whatnot, but anything you wanted to add?
I think you in previous shows have asked me somebody who I'm not as high on as other people. Yes. And I'm going to say in this particular running back class, it's Rashad White from Arizona State. He is a guy who's getting a ton of buzz lately. Really good pass catching back. He's just put a film out on my YouTube channel breaking down his film, and you go check that out. And you'll see what I feel about him and his game. And we did a complete film breakdown of his vision and his pass catching and all of that stuff. So he is a Debbie darling, as I like to call, a guy who is a late riser in this draft capital conversation as we approach the draft. Somebody who I'll most likely be fading in the majority of my drafts.
I actually like that you brought up a player that you weren't as into as other people, because now what I'll do with your information that you just gave me and what I'm suggesting other people do for my player profiles that I do with guests, Dave's and Finero's, is listen to those players that the Debbie guys don't like and go look at those players just as much as the players they do like. Because I'll tell you, they nailed a lot of those throughout last year's player profiles. Like the guys that a lot of you guys didn't like, Brandon, ended up being some of the guys that didn't hit as much, and or like you just see those concerns. And so you start to go look at those concerns a little bit. Basically, in short, it's the busy restaurant thing again. It's like, just because everybody's in line at the busy restaurant doesn't mean it's as good a food as the restaurant next door that doesn't have a line. It just means it's busier, and that's why you went there, because there's a certain confirmation you see when you see a line. It must be good.
Yeah, that, and I think the Twitter has an echo chamber that is real. Right. You know, good and bad. I mean,
yes.
So when someone is out there who's very popular, starts touting a player, everyone, you know, kind of gets on board. So I try and leave that out when I look at these film players. And Corey Pierre, a guy who's on my dashboard with me, him and I broke down Rashad White's film. We saw the same thing, the same concerns of his ability to run in between the tackles with his size. He's a 6'2" running back with a 210 pound frame. runs upright and stuff. So, you know, again, I think that you bring up a good point. You can't just watch the highlight films. You know, if someone doesn't like a player, research that on why, and, you know, look at the good and the bad with your analysis, and really go into when you watch one of these players and you do your research with an open mind and put Twitter out of your mind, put rankings out of your mind, because a lot of times we're wrong.
Out of your mind. Put Brandon out of your mind. You know, just take some time and do a little bit of your own research, you know.
That's right.
And obviously Brandon's providing you with tools to help you with that, and we're happy to be a part of that process. But spend some time on your own, and even like away from Twitter, importantly, and just kind of like create your own views on players.
That's right.
Ton of fun as always. Let's get Devi to Dynasty to 5,000 subscribers sooner than Brandon feels feasible. Let's help make that happen. Subscribe to that. Follow Devi Deep Dive on Twitter. You can call Twitter whatever you want.
Right.
All the free advertisement we give Twitter. Go to Devi Dashboard on Slack, or they should probably go through you to get to the Devi Dashboard on Slack.
Yeah, you're not going to find the Devi Dashboard. The Slack chat is a part of the Devi Dashboard. The dashboard is a research center for Devi players, big database, C2C players. I got 700 people in the database, all ranked with player profiles to do your research. You'd have to reach out to me on Twitter or send me an email to get to it. There's no website. There's no nothing. The only way to get to it is to get me on Twitter at Devi Deep Dive, and I'll send you some information if you're interested.
Yeah. And with that said, hit him up on Twitter, because that, I mean, Brandon is putting out stuff all the time and giving you going right to those videos. That's my first stop if I'm going to watch a video. I sincerely mean that. So
you're too kind.
Brandon, would it be crazy to say, I can edit this out, if there's not a player you've done, can I request you check into him a little bit?
Give it to me, man. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't have one off the top of my
head.
Okay. That was kind of for the listeners, but
give me a player and I'll break it down just for you.
Love it.
All right. Always a pleasure, Swags.
Absolutely, man. I'm at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever on Twitter. Another great Rookie Fever player profile. And we are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're long gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.